Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thank you for checking out another edition of Dead End Sports. We like to call this the best couple of hours of your sports week. Thank you for tuning in. This is the place where sports opinions collide. Again, we want to thank you for subscribing, downloading. Be sure to pass the word. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Like I said, we have a good time around here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. This is the NFL preview. And it's going to be hot and heavy, and we're going to drop science on you this week. Of course, I will not be doing this podcast alone. Joining me are the homies, my man Beezy, 430. What up, though?
What up, though? Happy Labor Day weekend. I hope y'all enjoyed y'all Labor Day weekend and all that other good stuff.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, I was in Dallas. I was visiting my sister for the holidays.
Okay.
You know, back in town. You know, I got today off work and tomorrow. So I'm
nice. Nice
little short work week, and I get to chill out and relax and stuff, man. So yeah. You ready for some football? Just got finished doing a draft with Ken. So, you know, ready for some football to kick off this Thursday.
No doubt. And the homie Ken is in the building. Ken, what up, man?
Chilling, man. Much like B, I was out of town this weekend. Was in Hilton Head, getting chased by Gators.
Nice. What? You saw a Gator for real?
Yeah, man. Check the IG. Okay. Yeah. I was right on the bank. Okay. So the house we stayed had like a little fishing pond, lake or whatever, creek or whatever it was in the back. So when I got back from biking, I went out there, and then, you know, he was just right there, like, peeping up, just looking at me. And then he just, we just, that's all I heard.
What?
And what he did was, it didn't really sound like that. Y'all know what a gator
sounds. But still,
but ghost. What he did was, I guess he got tired of us looking at it. So he opened his mouth, yelled, and went back under the water. But what I saw was him open his mouth, yell, and come on land and started running after me. That's what I saw. That's not what happened, but that's what I saw. So I was out. I was like, oh, it was like three of us. I was like, oh, snap. And I was just gone, man. I beat everybody to the house. And I may or may not have locked the door behind and left everybody else outside.
Did you grab your kids? That's all I want to know.
They were not out there. So
cool. My Labor Day wasn't as eventful. I stay here in the A, man, watch a lot of college football and chill, man. They just kick it with the family. I ain't do too much. Mm. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. The homie FIFA will be on the way. Of course, this is the NFL preview. If you've been down with Dead End Sports from day one, you know that the week before the season starts, we give our predictions. We talk about the NFL in general. And, you know, it's interesting because we've said on previous podcasts that, you know, realistically, the NFL really hasn't been the talk of the sports world. It's been kind of relatively on the back burner, you know, when you think about the NBA and then more here recently, the Major League Baseball. But the NFL is back. The season kicks off this coming Thursday with the defending Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs on NBC. Good luck to everybody out there in the Dead End Sports Fantasy Leagues, and if you're in a fantasy football league, make sure that you set your draft, because you know those Thursday night games tend to always slip up. We got notification that earlier today with the incoming Hurricane Irma that the Dolphins, who are the Dolphins playing? The Dolphins are playing somebody in Miami, and the game has been postponed. They're not sure if they're going to move it to another location, or if they're going to try to play later on in the season. So, you know, so you want to adjust your fantasy schedules. Speaking of fantasy football, real quick.
They're telling you in Miami, they're telling you to evacuate. Please evacuate.
Yeah, evacuate.
That's like a category five right now.
It's no joke. And I mean, we saw and I apologize. I didn't realize it until after we finished last week that we forgot to mention our thoughts and prayers are with the people of South Texas and Houston, you know, what they had to deal with and still currently dealing with the remnants of Hurricane Harvey. And, you know, just let everybody know. I don't know if we have any. I'm pretty sure we have listeners out there. You're definitely in our prayers. You know, for those of you, if you decide to donate or give, you know, make sure that you do it the right way and find nice charitable places to donate and give. Yeah, with that being said, like B said, there's evacuations being put in order for the state of Florida. It's already been declared a state of emergency. So I'm pretty sure this Miami game is not going to be played this weekend. But on the fantasy side, please set your rosters because the season does kick off this Thursday in prime time with Brady and the crew taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. So let's start right there, man. NFL, man. B, what teams are you looking forward to seeing? A team or teams that you're looking forward to seeing this season and why?
You know, looking forward to seeing Pittsburgh because you have Montavious Bryant. You know, I think he's got a one-game suspension, but after that, he's healthy, as far as we know, 100% healthy, ready to go. So, you know, I want to see what Ben going to do with Najee. He's going to have his other go-to guy on the other side of the field, and Martavis Bryant, and you know, Le'Veon Bell is going to be 100%. No suspension, no 4-game suspension coming into the season. You know, he got paid, got his franchise tag, so he got his money. So, interesting to see what Pittsburgh is going to do. Plus, I'm always rooting for Tomlin, man. Got to root for the brother, man. Got to root for him. Another squad I'm looking forward to seeing is who else? Kind of Atlanta. You know, not the. Just because I live here, but just to see how, you know, are they mentally drained or mentally motivated? You know, that's what I want to see out of Atlanta with these first 3 to 4 weeks of this season. You know, it's really kind of usually I always say the first 2 weeks of regular season is kind of like an extension of the preseason. You know, just got the starters playing. But yeah, I kind of want to see where Atlanta head is at, because, you know, after losing the lead, you know, we all know about losing the lead like that in the Super Bowl. You know, sometimes it can motivate you or it can just suck the life out of you and we won't see Atlanta get to this level again. So I really want to see. I'm interested to see how Atlanta's going to hold up with this after the Super Bowl loss hangover. I think that's it. I mean, as far as them just the teams, I mean, my Lions, I'm not concerned with my Lions. we won't probably make the playoffs if that. So you know, I'm not looking forward to seeing that football, even though I'm gonna probably go still see him sometime.
That was gonna be my next question. Are you gonna
I'm gonna go see him. I mean, you know, I still got support, I gotta ride or die, you know. But yeah, that's it. So yeah, Pittsburgh and Atlanta, and I'm sorry, one more, and Oakland Raiders. I'm interested to see what Oakland do because, you know, unfortunately, Derek Carr got hurt at the wrong time of the year because. We all know Oakland Raiders was rolling into the playoffs, man. They was looking. We was predicting them to compete with the Patriots for the AFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's unfortunate that Derek Carr got injured. Now you got Beast Mode back there playing in his hometown. So, yeah, Oakland. That was another team. So yeah, that's Atlanta. Who did I say? Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and Oakland. Them the squads I'm looking forward to like really checking out.
True indeed. What about you, Ken? Who are you looking? What team? Or teams are you looking forward to seeing this year?
All right, so for me, man, I'm kind of going in a little bit in the opposite direction of B. I'm looking forward to seeing the New York Jets. And I know
why
that sounds odd, but I just refuse to believe that they're going to be as bad as they're probably really going to be. I'm just curious, man. It's just gonna be like watching a traffic accident. So, I just gotta watch this because they have absolutely nobody at quarterback and at receiver, and so I just gotta see that. And the other team that I'm looking forward to seeing play this year, where are they? The Cleveland Browns, believe it or not.
Oh my gosh.
See what? Yeah, man. You know what? We know what the good teams are gonna do. I want to see how bad are the bad teams.
Right. How bad are the bad teams?
Yeah. So let's see what this. You know, because you know they have some talent on that Browns team. So let's see what Hugh Jackson does. Let's see what Kaiser does. Now that they've gotten rid of Brock Osweiler, Corey Coleman, will he, you know, break out this year? Can he stay healthy? They still have a pass catcher running back in Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell. So let's see what they do. And I'm with B on Marshawn, well, on Oakland, but I just want to see what Marshawn does. And Let's see. I want to see what Dalvin Cook does, you know, what he does in what he, you know, what he'll do in Minnesota. He was one of my favorite. I liked him a lot as a when he played in college. So that'll be interesting for me. And I guess the last team for me would be, well, real quick, I'm on Deshaun Watson watch in Houston.
Okay.
So, and the last one is, of course, Tampa Bay. I want to see what Winston does with all the weapons he has, and can he take it to the next level? So that's what I got.
Yeah, I echo some of the same teams that you said. You know, first and foremost for me is Tampa. I think Tampa is one of those teams, and I got a chance to see them on Hard Knocks. But even last year, I said, like, yo, this team isn't that far away. And they came on strong at the end of the season last year, and they barely missed the playoffs. But I think this is a team that, you know, defensively is scary. They're a little banged up and not as strong on the back end, but that front seven is as good as any front seven you'll see in the NFL. So I'm interested to see how they can, you know, what the next step is for them. I'm not really sold on Dirk Koetter as a coach, so we'll see. I like when Lovie Smith was there, but you know, they got rid of the brother. I think Tampa's going to be one of the teams that I'm looking forward to seeing. I got a chance to see him a couple of times in preseason, and he looked pretty decent at times. Jameis looked good at times, looked bad at times, and can he be more consistent? I think that's the biggest question I have. The other team that another team in the NFC that I'm looking forward to seeing is the Seattle Seahawks. This is a team that went through a lot this past offseason. Richard Sherman was the subject of trade talks. Russell Wilson showed up, you know, at the fight party with, you know, looking decked out like a gangster. I wonder how, and, you know, of course, Michael Bennett has been outspoken, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, very supportive of Colin Kaepernick. And, you know, so they made a lot of headlines off the field, but I'm interested to see how things play out for them on the field. I think they're a team that realistically could go all the way, but I think that window is closing, and I'm interested to see what happens if it doesn't happen this year. What happens as far as whether or not they'll tweak the lineup or, you know, kind of blow things up. Over in the AFC, man, like you can, I'm looking forward to seeing Houston. I think at some point in time, probably earlier than later during the season, I think Deshaun Watson is going to be the starting quarterback. I don't believe in Tom Savage. I've never believed in Tom Savage. I probably will never believe in Tom Savage. But I think Deshaun Watson has what it takes. And keep in mind, this is a team that if they had consistent quarterback play last year, probably could have beaten the Patriots. So I'm interested to see how they put it all together. Another team that and I know this is going to make Ken smile. Another team that I'm looking forward to seeing, interested in seeing what they do. Cincinnati Bengals, led by Andy Dalton.
Yes, sir.
Joe Mixon. The reason why I say that is because Marvin Lewis, if I'm not mistaken, is the second longest tenured coach in the NFL, right behind the guy with the hoodie in New England. So, I mean, he's been there like 14, 15 years. And every year we're like, okay, Marvin's on the hot seat. He's on the hot seat, but he manages to get it done. You know, they've had injuries. They've had, like, you know, just bad luck. Vontaze Burfict, you know, got suspended again. But I think this is the year that they should be able to put it all together. Can they and will they? I'm not sure, but I'm interested to see how this thing goes. If this team puts it, because they have enough, honestly, they have enough talent to be right there with the best teams in the AFC. But can they keep it together? That's the thing. So, and you know, can AJ Green stay healthy? And can, you know, they've got good running backs and they've got a great defense, but can they keep it together? You know, so I'm looking forward. So those are the teams I'm looking forward to seeing, man. I think all of those teams right there, you know, definitely will shine or at the very least be very interesting, you know, coming forward for this season. Now, when we start talking about the games, of course, you have the divisional rivalries. But Ken, what game or games are you looking forward to seeing and why?
Let's see here. So I'm not really much of a, you know, kind of like a schedule guy that look for certain games. But I think one of the most obvious games that I'm looking forward to see is when Adrian Peterson go back to Minnesota when they play. So if I had to pick one and give you an answer, it would definitely be that one, man, because I want to see how Peterson, you know, reacts to, you know, playing against his old team. He was a Viking for so long, and now he's not. So that should be an interesting game to watch, to say the least.
What about you, B? Any particular game or games that you're looking forward to seeing?
Oh, man. I'm up here looking through the schedule now. I can't even think off the top of my head what games I'm looking forward to.
Well, I know you're a Lions fan. Are there any other games like that the Lions play that you look forward to maybe more so than others?
Nope. I mean, I look forward to seeing the Lions when they play the Falcons. that's about it. I mean, and the Super Bowl rematch. I mean, too bad that's not the Thursday night kickoff game. Right. Yeah, I mean, is Raiders playing Seattle at some point this year? Because I would like to see Marshawn Lynch, see how he play against his old squad if they're playing. I don't know if they're playing.
I don't think that they are. Okay. I'll pull it up and see. Yeah, but I don't think they are.
Lions and Falcons week 3, and Falcons and Patriots, I think like October 22nd. Falcons go to Gillette Stadium and play.
Sir.
I would like to see that.
No doubt. I think for me, I like seeing the rival, particularly when my team isn't involved or whatever like that. I like seeing the rivalry games. So, you know, anytime I can see, even though I don't have a dog in the fight, but like seeing the Cowboys and the Redskins, those games, all the NFC East games always become like really, really fun. And, you know, I like being on social media, seeing the fans go back and forth. Just personally for me, because I grew up a Giants fan and I still love the Giants to this day. Giants Cowboys, like that game, no matter what, because. And given the fact that the Giants beat the Cowboys twice last year, you know, anytime those two teams play, I always look forward to it because it's bitter. And the Giants don't like the Cowboys, and the Cowboys don't like the Giants, and they don't really, you know, it's not like they try to hide it. You know, it's really, really, you know, in your face. Also, Steelers, Ravens. When you talk about smash mouth football, it's really, really smash mouth football. Both teams really hate each other. The fan bases hate each other. I love seeing them go back and forth. And those games, while they generally aren't pretty games as far as like high scoring games, it's always a smash mouth game. And those games always seem to come down to a kick or a penalty or something, you know, at the last minute. So I'm really looking forward to, like I said, Giants, Cowboys, Steelers, Ravens. Where is there another rivalry that's pretty much it? It used to be 49ers and Seahawks, but you know, the 49ers, I mean, are terrible right now. And obviously living here, man, Saints, Falcons, that's always because the fan base, again, because the fan bases hate each other. Saints, Falcons is always fun, for me as well. All right, man. So let's break it down. These divisions, let's start first in the AFC. B, who wins the AFC and why?
I think we've been saying this ever since we've been doing that in sports, and it's, you know, it's the mighty Patriots. You know, is always going to be the Patriots until Tom Brady or they suffer 5 more injuries on that team. I'm gonna pick someone else, but I mean, until then, I'm gonna have to go with the Patriots, man. The Patriots, the defending champs. They've been fortunate to play in a cupcake division. I mean, I hate to be the guy that say that. I mean, but with the exception of them couple years,
shame the devil.
Yeah, the couple years that the Jets had them good defenses when they went to the AFC Championship game. That's about it. But other than that, Patriots, AFC East.
There it is. What about you, Ken? Who wins the AFC East and why?
I mean, Damn, man, this sucks. I don't even want to say it. That team B said, I think they'll win. I mean, they should win it. The Dolphins have Cutler as their quarterback. The right. Jets quit before the season started, and so did the Bills. They quit. They can win this division with Jacoby Brissett starting as the quarterback. So, yeah, they're going to win this division.
They'll probably sweep the division. They just traded, too, which was a surprise right. to me.
So, they'll win. I'm not going to even say their names.
All the disrespect. I got to make it a trifecta, man. I think New England wins the East. Like B said, I don't – of the years that we've been doing Dead End Sports, I don't think we've – any of us ever pick somebody other than New England to win the East. I don't know, man. Like you said, Ken, the Jets had a little run there for a while. And I feel bad for Jets fans because the Jets fans are probably some, I'm very close with some Jets fans. They might be some of the most loyal fans who are absolutely getting nothing in return. I mean, because if you think about that Jets team, what is there to watch on that team? Like, other than just watching the Jets, like there's nothing entertaining about that team. You know, they were a little entertaining when Rex Ryan was there because he could talk trash, and you know, Ty Bowles, man, I know you hanging on for your job, man. This is gonna be a long year, man. I mean, that's a team that they might win four games, hopefully.
And they're doing the brother wrong, man. They're doing the brother wrong. let's be real.
He's got his work cut out for him on this one, man. This is gonna be a lean year, to say the least. But I got the Patriots winning this division. I would be surprised that if anybody in the division could actually give them a run for the money. To be honest, I'd be surprised if anybody in the division beat them. As far as divisional games, it's New England. I don't know what else to say. New England, I mean, we already know what they are. They're a great team. So, you know, Miami's, like you said, they pulled Jay Cutler off the scrap heap. Buffalo's a train wreck. You know, and then the Jets. I mean, like, this, to me, and there's no disrespect, this is the weakest division in the NFL. And you need not look any further than, you know, the Jets quarterback situation. And that tells you all that you need to know about where this particular division is. So, yeah, I got the East going to the Patriots. Now let's take it to the South. AFC South. Ken, who wins and why?
All right, so AFC South, what we're working with here. So the Texans, the Jaguars, the Colts, and the Titans. This is a very, very, very ugly division. Andrew Luck is beat up. Mariota can't stay on the field. The Jaguars have Bortles as the quarterback. And the Texans are starting Tom Savage. So it's terrible, man. But I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans.
Okay. Why you got the Titans?
You know what, man? I gave Mariota a hard time. But I have to admit, he's in a reduced role. He has played effective. He doesn't take a lot of risks, but you know, he gets the job done. I mean, he doesn't turn the ball over, and that's key in the NFL, because he all the possessions count. You just can't give the team the ball like that. Mm-hmm. So I think if he can stay healthy, they got Decker, who's a touchdown machine. They got Corey Davis, who, if he can stay healthy, can be a weapon for them down the stretch. They have two elite running backs, and they have a tight end in Delanie Walker. So the rest is really up to Mariota. Like, can he stay on the field? And when he's on the field, he's very, very efficient, and he's basically doing what he was doing in college. He just kind of walked the team down to score. Very Brady-like. You know, they don't really – they go deep when you know, the guy's wide open. But outside of that, you know, he just takes what the defense gives them. And that's it. So I think with the way the rest of the teams are and how I think this division is just, you know, a depressed division, I think I would like them to win this division. I think it'll be interesting and fun to see Mariota go in and capture his first division title.
Okay. What about you, B? AFC South, man. Who takes it and why?
AFC South. I'm gonna roll with my man's Deshaun Watson and them Houston Texans, man.
Okay.
He's not starting.
You know, I think he's gonna by like I give him week three. I give him week three, week four, he'll be starting. Yeah, I think we're finally gonna get a healthy defense, a healthy JJ Watt and Clowney, hopefully for a good 80% of the season. Because you know, Clowney proved why he was the first round draft pick. Because at first we was getting ready to label him as a bust in the league, but you know, he held on and held his own and he showed out in the playoffs, so that was good. Showed out on the big stage. So I think I'm gonna go with Texas, man. That was the only thing that was missing last year was a QB. They showed us the blueprint how to beat the Patriots. They just didn't have no offense. They had no QB that was serviceable. So I think they're gonna be all right, man. I think the Texans gonna take this. I think it's just gonna be the second year in a row that they're gonna take the division. They took it last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So yeah, I got the Texans repeating again as the AFC South champs.
I'm with you, man. I think it's the Texans division to win. Ken, you laid out a compelling argument, man, for the Titans. Something about the Titans I just don't trust. You know, they do have Murray. I like Mariota when healthy. Not really a fan of that defense that they have, even though they're pretty solid. You know, they're not flashy or anything like that. But I think it'll come down to the Texans and the Titans battling it out. But I like the Texans, man. And I think eventually Savage will give way to, you know, playing poor. And, you know, Deshaun Watson will be eventually starting. And I think when you look at what they have as far as a run game, they've got Hopkins on the outside, that great defense with J.J. Watt coming back off a back injury. If he, you know, injuries withstanding, if he can get back to what he was, which I don't think is, you know, crazy enough to think that he wouldn't. And then you got Clowney on the other side, who was healthy last year for the first time. Man, this Texan squad could be scary. And you know, given everything that's happened in South Texas and Houston in particular, you know, they have a little bit more motivation to be playing for their fans. And, you know, before we even move on, big shout out to J.J. Watt, man, for raising at this point $20 million in hurricane relief funds for people who have been affected by Hurricane Harvey. I think when he initially started out, he wanted to raise $200,000, and it went from $200,000, and he's right now they're sitting at $20 million, man. So big shout out to him for, you know, getting out there, getting his face out there, and asking people to donate money and their time and their efforts. And it's been I'm pretty sure far, far beyond his dreams, and it's actually going to help the Houston community. So I'm big up to him and you know, what he's doing for not just Houston, but all of South Texas and Louisiana as well. But yeah, I like the Titans. I like the Texans. I like the Texans. I think it'll be close. I think this division probably will come down to the last couple of weeks of the season. But give me the Texans coming out of the AFC South. As far as the AFC North, B, who you got coming out of the AFC North?
AFC North, I have Yeah, this is always a toughy one.
Oh yeah, always tough because I think
I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I don't. It seemed like Baltimore maybe take a step back this year. Ken's boy. he got a ref for his boy Flacco. But yeah, I got Pittsburgh, man. I think Pittsburgh, they're gonna take the division. I got them taking the AFC North with it's always that toss up, a tie between Ravens and the Bengals to see who's going to take that second spot. But I got the Steelers just taking the AFC North.
No doubt. What about you, Kent? AFC North, who you got?
You know what? They have everybody now, so I have to pick the Steelers. I was going to say I like the Bengals, but I just they have way too many running backs, and I don't think they know who's who. So I think the Steelers, with all of their weapons finally available and for the first time in a long time, or for the first time, period, people are excited to see what they do. Martavis Bryant, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, They got Eli Rogers, and they just got a Vance McDonald, who's a pass catching tight end when he catches the ball, and then they have Jesse James. Vance McDonald's dropped the ball a lot. Then they picked up Joe Hayden, who was released by the Browns. And I was looking to see if he was one of the ones that protested too, but I couldn't find it. Anyway, and I don't think he was, because that was
weird. I don't
weird.
Think he was either.
Yeah, that was weird. But so they picked him up. So the defense, the secondary should be a little bit better. So I like the Steelers, but I think this could also be a case where everybody's hyped up and looking forward to seeing what a team does, and they do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I think I got to go with the Steelers too, man. I think Pittsburgh, I was a little concerned during the offseason when there was talk that Ben Roethlisberger was talking about retiring. Because anytime a guy starts talking about retiring, that means like he ain't playing around. Like he's really serious about it. And, I didn't think that there was any doubt that he would be coming back. But the fact that he was talking about it was a cause for concern. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe his head's not in it. But it could have been him just being emotional after the end of the season. You know, it was a rough ending to the end of the season for them. And then obviously you had the holdout with Le'Veon Bell. As you mentioned, Bryant has been reinstated. I think they got better on defense. And I think the Steelers really have the blueprint and what they want to do, and they know what they want to do. And they do what they can to kind of impose their will. Le'Veon Bell, in my opinion, is still the best back in the game. Antonio Brown is, in my opinion, if not 1-1A as far as receivers in the game. So I got to go to Pittsburgh. I think they probably lose 4 or 5 games, but they win this division. I'm interested to see where Cincinnati is, but can Cincinnati go toe to toe with Pittsburgh? That's the question that I have. I think Baltimore takes a step back. I'm not sold that Flacco is back and that his back is fully healthy. And I know, Ken didn't believe in Joe Flacco, but I believe in Flacco.
Come on, man. How many years has it been? How many years
since
has it been?
Since we shot that video.
Okay.
Oh man. I can't jump on the Flacco bandwagon this year, man. So I gotta roll with Pittsburgh, man. I think Pittsburgh gets it done in the AFC North. Now let's take it to the where are we going next? We're going to we got my man FIFA on there. FIFA, what's up, man? Is he on?
Yo.
What up, man?
Yo, what up?
What's good?
Man, where the hell does damn weather come from, man?
I don't know, man. It was sunny and then it just started raining like all of a sudden.
Man.
But it could be worse.
It could be. It definitely could be. But it wasn't gravy. It definitely added like another 30 minutes to my commute.
I understand. Totally. We're just sitting there kicking it. Talking about the NFL right now, we're talking about the we're going to take it to the AFC West. B, what about you as far as the AFC West? Who do you think wins it and why?
AFC West. Ooh, that's what Denver, Kansas City, Chargers, Oakland. Mm-hmm. I got Oakland, man. I got Oakland. Carr's back. He's going to be on the tear. I think he's angry because he know that last season slipped from them due to his injury. They got beast mode. I know that's going to bring them some extra additional locker room motivation. Someone that's a Super Bowl winner that knows what it takes. And he's motivated because he's playing for his hometown. So I'm pretty sure that's another, one up for them. So that should be pretty cool. What else? Who else? Yeah, I think that's it. I got Oakland.
What about you, FIFO? Who do you have coming out of the AFC West?
I would have to agree. I got Oakland. Derek Carr, I think, is the best quarterback in that division. And if you just pick out the best quarterback in every division, you could probably pick out. everything that B said, Marshawn is going to be highly motivated to play. I think Derek Carr, even though. I don't think he's cracked the top 10 because he's still so young that he has to be able to put in the years to prove that he's worthy of that top 10. And just in terms of arm talent alone, he's top 10, right? So, you know, coming off of that injury, I think he's feeling like he has something to prove. That defense is up and coming with Khalil Mack. I just think they have the perfect storm. I think this is the year. I don't think they can sneak up on anybody. And I think where they are now in terms of their talent, they want that challenge. So I like where they are, man. Jack Del Rio got them boys upright.
True indeed. What about you, Kent? AFC West, who wins it and why?
So let's see. Denver don't have a quarterback. Kansas City, I mean, they win games, but
right, they get it done. It's not pretty, but they get it done.
You know what? Give me the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm going with Philip Rivers.
That sounds funny to hear in and of itself. But go ahead.
I know it really does. Give me Philip Rivers, and if that team stay healthy, I think they could shock the NFL. Or the AFC West and take this division. Phillip Rivers, Tyrell Williams, Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon, Hunter Henry, Antonio Gates. I think they can do it, man. So I'm going to go out on a limb and venture away from the pack on this one. And I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Why because, do you got to be a contrarian? Like, why is it in your name?
Always, man. It don't matter. It don't matter.
You know what, FIFO? Look, the Chargers won a lot of close games last year, right? What, six? Six or seven of them? On the final drive or within 1 point? If those go the other way, then we're talking about a different team. So I'm saying that they're not going to go the other way. And in addition to that, Phillip Rivers lost Keenan Allen in, what, the first half of last year, and he kept losing receiver after receiver. Melvin Gordon went down. I think Danny Woodhead went down. So, you know, they struggled. So, yeah, I'm watch. I'm going to be right. Watch. You'll see.
Famous last words. Watch. I'm going to be right. I'm going to go with KC. I mean, not KC. I'm sorry. I'm going to go with the Raiders. I agree with what B and FIFO said, man. I think Carr's injury, man, really put a damper on, I think, what could have been a magical season for the Raiders last year. They get better. You know, Carr has another year under his belt, you know, playing with Amari Cooper, who is, you know, a fantasy keeper and a stat pusher on the outside. Then you get Beast Mode coming back, coming out of retirement. You don't know. I mean, and I saw his... And I got to go back to fantasy football, but I saw his name come off the board very early in fantasy drafts. And because you got to figure that Marshawn Lynch, even if he's not running, you know, from the 20 to the 20, he's definitely getting the ball inside the red zone because he's always been a great short yardage back. And that defense is improving with Khalil Mack. They've got to get better on the outside. I think they gave up a lot of passes for touchdowns last year. They've had some off the field issues. The kid just got, you know, popped for, what was it? Beating up his girlfriend's, his sister's boyfriend or something like that. So, you know, typical Raiders, man, typical Raiders. So I like this team. The AFC West is going to be tough. I'm not sold on Denver, because of their quarterback situation. And I'll touch on that in a second. And then, you know, Kansas City, who, you know, has a great defense, you know, you just have to ask yourself, can you trust Alex Smith? Now, the Mahomes kid behind him is going to be special. I think he's going to be good. But he, you know, I think Andy Reid doesn't want to. And you can understand why. Andy Reid's not going to play him this year. But speaking of quarterbacks, while we're on the subject of quarterbacks in Denver, Denver welcomed a new face this week. Brock Osweiler was cut by the Cleveland Browns and unceremoniously cut after signing a contract that would pay him $16 million this year. And he's going back to his former team, the Denver Broncos, where he will compete for the starting position. you know, it got me to thinking, and I didn't even have this on here, but I'm gonna throw this question to you guys. You know, years ago we did our videos. We would do our top 10 videos, top 10 at the positions. I was telling one of my coworkers today, like, how bad the quarterback position has fallen off in the NFL. So I'm gonna throw this question to you guys, and B, I'll start with you. And I'm not gonna ask you for your top 10, but do we have like 10 really, really good quarterbacks in the NFL? 10 great quarterbacks in the NFL?
No.
Because I think we got like a handful of really good quarterbacks. I think we got a couple of great quarterbacks, a couple of good quarterbacks, and then after that, it just sucks.
Yeah, no, we don't. I mean, because you think, okay, let's name the what we always say, the elites, right? Mm-hmm. Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting somebody else.
No, that's about it as far as elite.
So them three I like the least. Then you got like the second tier. You got the Matt Ryans, you got the Ben Roethlisbergers, you got the
where would you put Eli? Eli like, probably be on that tier, right?
I would he'd guess. Be like the third tier, I would say.
Yeah,
Eli
third.
Wait,
put me on the second tier? I might put Eli on the second tier.
He too inconsistent. You can't be right in the second tier and be that inconsistent.
You're right.
He there with Andy Dalton in them.
I think you're disrespecting Big Ben a little bit, B.
Nah. He's second tier.
What?
You put him with the Brady's and Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Nah.
Why not? Yeah,
because he got two Super Bowls.
Yeah,
well, Eli does too.
Yeah, but Eli's not as good as Big Ben.
y'all hear how I keep going?
We agree there.
Who's there?
We agree there. No, I said we agree there where Ben is definitely better than Eli. But Ben, you know, Ben has always had like a lot of other stuff. See, like the elite, like that first tier, no matter what you put around them, they're going to get it done. It don't matter. Don't put no O-line. Don't worry about it. I got it. Right? Peyton Manning was like that, right? So that's the first tier. Second tier is, I'm not going to lose you guys any games. I'm way better than the majority of the quarterbacks in the league. I might lose you a game or two just because, you know, I think I'm the guy, but the defense really has me figured out. But I'm good enough to go to a Super Bowl. I may not win it, but I'm good enough to get there. That's the second tier. Third tier is right
time,
starter. Right place. Hold on. Third tier is more – right time, right place, we might win, but it ain't guaranteed. We just might make the playoffs, just maybe.
Kirk Cousins.
Those are the three tiers.
Oh, Kirk Cousins.
I agree. Bro. Maybe fourth tier, Kirk Cousins. But he's statistically, he's been up there, though.
But he's a legend at the bank.
Okay, so.
Hey, I'll take it.
Ralph, based on that criteria you just laid out, I think we should put Russell
Wilson.
That's a
great criteria, too.
In the elite tier. He's done it without. I think Russell Wilson should be in the elite tier then.
I couldn't put Russell. You know what? No,
I think he's second tier.
By FIFO's definition, I'm thinking like, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like a quarterback that if you say, okay, get me 303 touchdowns this Sunday. I think the quarterbacks that he named in that top tier can do that on a week to week basis.
It don't matter. They do it in their
season. Yeah, exactly. It don't matter. It
don't matter.
Like you said, the next tier, I think those guys can do it, you know, but it's not all the time. The next tier
you're gonna
is
have about 3 to 4 off weeks. You're gonna have about a third of the season where it's kind of like, man, like what happened? But
so,
they gonna bounce right back.
So let me ask y'all this: if we go by those tiers, where do we put Cam Newton?
Cam Newton's in the second tier.
Okay, so you would put him in the third tier.
No. I think I'm not done with Russell. FIFO said that
okay,
you can put an elite guy as a guy that would go out and get it done week to week, regardless of who's on the field. How is that not Russell Wilson?
Because
the guy was
Russell
thrown to
Wilson,
Jermaine Kearse and Paul Richardson and Tyler Lockett.
Russell did his thing, but he ain't do it like Tom Brady did it with the no names, right? He's not out there throwing for three-four touchdowns, no picks in the blizzard. Huh?
That's all he's done.
Wait, hold on. But a lot of the success, and I'm not taking anything away from Russell Wilson, that defense has been an all-time great defense.
Yeah.
For their run, because think about it, all-time great defenses don't have more than 2-3 years. It's hard to keep all those guys together. They don't have more than 2-3 years. For their run, you got to consider them top five defense all time. I'm not saying you put them there. I'm just saying you have – they're in the conversation.
At the very least, top 10. I remember you guys gave me a lot of crap when I made that same argument as to why Russell Wilson shouldn't be top 10 or whatever it was at that time.
Now, but that's being disrespectful, though, okay? Russell Wilson, we only named three guys in the top 10.
Yeah, I can't put Russell Wilson in the elite. I can't put him in the elite. It's interesting that we having this because, like I said, I was having this conversation today, and I just kind of I was telling my coworker, like, I don't know that there. I mean, like, I know that there's, you know, some great quarterbacks. There's a couple of good quarterbacks, but I was like, I was having a hard time coming up with 10, and I was like, I'm not even doing a list, and I was going off the top of my head, but yeah, I would probably Cam, Russell Wilson, Stafford, Ryan, Flacco. If you made a case for Ben being in tier one, I wouldn't argue with that because Ben gets numbers, you know, he doesn't, you know, he's been banged up, but I wouldn't have a problem with somebody putting Ben in the top tier, but
like week to week, he's not the reason.
Yeah, week to week, no.
But we've seen Ben play elite, and we've seen Ben revolving.
And we've seen Ben, struggle too.
But we've seen him do it with the revolving door of receivers, too. He went from Santonio Holmes. Huh?
No, go ahead.
What? With Santonio Holmes. Who else did he have? Hines Ward. He's had a rotating crop of receivers, and he still puts up numbers year after year after year.
He does. But you know what, though, Ken? If you look at the years that they won, right, except for maybe this last run that they have, they've primarily been defensive centric, right? And yeah, he's done it with a revolving door, but it's not because of him. When you watch those other three guys, right, and even though Drew Brees isn't getting the W's now, but the team is just awful around them, right? Like we don't know what Sean Payton's doing. Hopefully, they can turn it around. But the other two, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. It don't matter. They're the primary reason why you win a football game. It's not the defense. It's not the run. It's not nothing. It's them doing those nuances. Those only Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady play. Like only the plays that those guys can make, man. Like those guys are on a whole nother level. Look, Matt Ryan had the most comeback wins, right, to start off an NFL career. But he's not doing it the entire game week to week. No. He's got Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers for the majority of the game are dominant.
Yeah.
You're going to get 14 to 15 dominant performances from these guys. The next tier, you're going to get anywhere between 8 to 12, maybe 13 dominant performances. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're going to have off games. Ben has had off games.
And usually those off games are the games that you lose.
Those are the ones that you lose. And then, but the reason why they're tier two is because next week you already know. You put the money on them. Mm-hmm. They're going to come out and have 300-400 yards because they're that great. But they're not Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
I agree. And that's why we put Russell Wilson in that second tier. He has gotten better. And Ken, I do remember the argument we had, and we did give you hell for it. But he has gotten better. And you know, you mentioned his receiver core. He did pick up, you know, Jimmy Graham and so forth and so on. And I think it's time will tell. And I think that's, you know, we'll see over a period of time how the quarterback position evolves. But you know, for those of you listening, you know, come up with a list. Your list probably is going to start thinning out at 10, 11, 12, 13. Because then you're like, okay, now it's like, okay, shake them up. Let me try to figure out who this is at 14 and 15. Because this, you know, to be honest, it's not a lot of great quarterbacks. And I think we're in an era where, you know, the position, man, it's really kind of fading. It really is. But
Kyle, go ahead. We got some young and up and comers, though. We
do.
Jameis. You know what I'm saying?
We do.
You know, we got about two or three of them. We got Mariota.
I like Carr.
And Carr.
I like Mariota. I like Jameis. Exactly. Outside of the younger ones, man, outside of that.
I feel you.
It is slim pickings. And I mean, who knows? Time will tell. But right now, yeah, they don't, you know, it's. And I mean, I don't even want to get into Kaepernick, but I mean, this is something that for those of you been listening, what we've talked about, like the level of quality starting. I mean, look at the Jets' three quarterbacks. I mean, come on, man. They might as well let me play, you know? So, but anyway, I digress. Let's move over to the NFC. The NFC is always cracking. We got notice just before we came on that the NFL upheld the special arbitrator upheld the 6-game suspension for Ezekiel Elliott. So he will be suspended for 6 games, barring that they do not take this to court. However, he has been granted the ability to play this weekend, and they kick off the season this Sunday night at home, meaning the Cowboys, at home against the Giants. So let's start right there. B, how do you see this? Who wins the NFC East and why?
Well, this is going to be interesting because, you know, you got a team like Dallas who now, you know, this is where we're going to see what Dak and Zeke is about, because last year, rookies caught everybody by surprise. And now you got defensive coordinators got the whole entire offseason and training camp to study these guys, to really know what these guys' weaknesses are. And this is the same thing I said with Kaepernick. When Kaepernick came and shocked everybody with San Fran and took team to the Super Bowl or whatever, and I was like, okay, that's cool. Defensive coordinators got film on them now. Yep. So let's see what Kaepernick going to do. This is how I feel with Dak and them in Dallas. It's like, now we're going to see if Dak and Zeke is a real deal, because, you know, I originally had them winning it, but I think I might go with this might be a shock. I might go with Washington. I think I'm gonna go with the Redskins. Yep. I'm gonna go with the Redskins, man. They just got like a grimy.
Hey, B, you do know we're recording this, right?
Yes, I know. They just got like a grimy, because I'm not sold on Philly. I don't know why. I don't trust Philly, and Giants is just, I guess it ain't as far as go as what Eli can take them. Cause I'm not sold on Giants defense. I think you can run the scoreboard up on that defense. But I think just Redskins cause of ugliness, man. Just cause they can be that ugly team that's gonna sneak in there and win division going like 9-7, 10-6. I really think that NFC East is gonna be an ugly division as far as like wins go. So I have a feeling some of these coordinators, they might pick up on Dak, and we're going to be like, whoa, Dak having that sophomore. I think Dak going to have the sophomore slump. I'm not saying Dak is going to be a bum the rest of his career, but I think he's going to have a sophomore slump. I can't really say the same thing about Zeke because, you know, they got a good offensive line. So I think Zeke is going to have a good – once he comes back from his suspension.
Assuming that he gets suspended, because, I mean, they could throw this thing in court and he could be just like Brady and, you know, find out next year.
He's going to eat these games up. I think he's going to come back angry, pissed. And he's gonna run the hell out that ball. I think he gonna still be probably fifth in rushing once the season is all said and done, even missing the first, you know, he won't come back to week 8. You know what I'm saying? So I think Zeke is still gonna be top 5, top 6 RB. But Dak, I think Dak might be in that sophomore slump, man. So I'm gonna go and watch the Redskins, Kirk Cousins and company, man. You like that. That's what I'm going with.
What about you, Vivo? Who wins this division and why?
I think this is the interesting division, right? Because you got the Giants and all these diva wide receivers, you know, out here trying to get the same ball. You got the Eagles with a second-year quarterback that, you know, he looked all right. You know, he looked pretty good early on. Then, you know, people caught on, and then, you know, he didn't look as good. Then we got Dallas with Zeke obviously being out the first 6 weeks, Dak being a second year quarterback, and we got the damn Redskins, man. How you really want me to pick this? Because my logical brain, when I break everything down, I'm like, it's really a free for all. It really is, because I think that if Zeke was in the lineup for the first 6 weeks, Dak wouldn't struggle. And I wouldn't agree with B, but because Zeke is out, I agree with B. I think he's going to struggle a little bit at the beginning of the season. I don't know where that puts them. The Giants, I like them offensively. You know, I think Odell is the best wide receiver in the NFL. That's another conversation for another day. I like the other wide receivers. I like what they've done offensively, but no O-line. Defense is, you know, it's not. They're a bend but don't break defense. They, you know, and I think that if you don't have an O-line, you need a defense that can get the ball back. And they're just not that. So I don't know where they go. Washington, man, come on, man. They have a rent a quarterback. That's basically what they got right now. They got a rent a quarterback. And the rest of that team, like what, like I don't know how B's
ugly. It's an ugly team. It's an ugly team, man.
Dude, when I look at, I don't know what to make of it, man. I don't know. I'm gonna go with the best overall player in the division. I'm gonna go with OBJ and the Giants, cause cause of that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you play a game of poker, and somebody has like the damn 10 of clubs, and that's the high card. You ain't do nothing else. Maybe an ace, maybe a jack, but it is what it is, man. I'm taking OBJ and the Giants.
Okay. What about you, Ken?
You know, I wanted to go with Philadelphia.
Just because you didn't want to hear Q's mouth. Shout out to
you
Q.
Know, yeah, I think, you know, getting Alshon Jeffrey is an upgrade. You know, Ertz showed out last year. He came on strong. And I think, you know, it's the second year. Wentz started out hot, and then, you know, he kind of hit a rookie wall. So if he can, you know, carry that out through a full season, I was thinking that they may get the job done. But, nah, I think I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to just go with quarterback. I think Dak, you guys know, and for those of you that have listened to the show, I was a big Dak fan when he was at Mississippi State. I think there's something to this guy. I don't want to jump too far on the hype train yet. I do believe Zeke's suspension will impact them. But if that O-line is what everybody says it is, then Matt Fadden and Alfred Morris can jump in there and you know, get them through the six games. So give me the Cowboys, man. I like the Cowboys to win this division. It's not going to be easy. But it's the NFL. No game is easy. And, indeed. You know, I think that Paul Perkins can't run the ball. I hear what FIFO's saying, but that offensive line in New York is terrible. And I don't know. I just – Eli's a turnover machine, man. So give me the Cowboys.
Never bet against Elisha Manning. I'm going with the Giants, man. Now, Ken, you did touch on something that I think is very key that a lot of people seem to forget. The Giants running game is a work in progress. To call it a work in progress, I think is an understatement. However, with Sterling Shepard working the middle, you got Brandon Marshall, who's a new acquisition, and obviously Odell Beckham Jr., Eli Manning has the weapons at his disposal. This year, I think more so than any other year, the Giants go as far as Eli Manning can take them. And, you know, if he's washed up or if he throws four picks in a game, you know, then, you know, the Giants have to start looking at his replacement. You know, but defensively, this team came on really, really strong at the end of the year, played very well. I think that's going to roll over into this season. Defensively, I don't think the Giants will be. I don't think they'll be a problem. I think the biggest question is going to be the offensive line and the run game. I don't trust Dallas. I know that Dallas has a great offensive line, but I really think, and B, you touched on it, and you said this as long as we've been doing this. Once teams get a chance to get film on a guy, they seem to figure him out. And I think if you look at the level of caliber of teams that Dallas played last year, they didn't play playoff teams. They got that record primarily just from beating. I mean, you play who's on your schedule, but they beat some of the worst teams in the NFL. Then that's not to say that they aren't good, because Dallas is good. However, you know, they didn't play a lot of playoff teams last year on their way to making it to the playoffs before getting knocked out by a discount double check. So with that being said, I think Dallas will be fine. I think they, you know, they have decent running backs that can hold the fort, but defensively Dallas can't stop anybody. And that's going to be their problem. The Eagles, I like Wentz. I like him a lot. I think he's a lot better than I thought he was initially going to be. But not really sure about Philadelphia's defense. I think Philadelphia's, you know, they're probably another year away. B, I don't understand how you picked the Redskins. You said that they're ugly. Yeah, they're ugly. I mean, like, precious ugly, right? They are so ugly.
But you know how crazy the NFL season is, man.
But you're right, though. It's, yeah, anything can happen. Anything can happen.
That's my anything can happen pick right there.
Yeah, I don't believe in Kirk Cousins. God bless him. I mean, like I said, he's a legend at the bank, but nah, he's not that good. And I think, you know, it's going to show. So yeah, I'm taking the Giants to win the NFC East. Moving over to the NFC South, we got the Falcons, we got the Panthers, we got the Bucks, and we got the Saints. FIFO, how do you see this one shaking out? Who wins the NFC South?
Man, you know, look. 2 years in a row, man. This is tough.
For the culture,
because they're making me go against my own rule, man.
And what's your rule?
Bet on Georgia teams.
There you go.
You don't do it. You see what happened, yeah. And I let my guard down. I said it was gonna be too much. And they came out like that, Ken. And this is why Tom Brady is number one or number two on everybody's list right now in the NFL. Because it don't matter. It don't matter, Ken. It don't matter. They're gonna come back. But anyway,
crap.
When I look at the NFC South, the best team is Atlanta. Now, I think Carolina with Christian McCaffrey, I want to call him his dad's name, Ed McCaffrey. He's a dope player, by the way, for all you youngins and watching. But Christian McCaffrey has his own separate playbook.
I heard about that.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey has a whole offense designed around him. So I definitely think he's going to be a major weapon. And I don't know if the Falcons are going to be able to stop him. But if you're telling me to pick the division winner, who's going to win the most games, and even though Atlanta does have a tough schedule, they got a new crib. And I'm going against my saying, man. And my sayings, they be meaning something. But I got to pick the Falcons, man. They're the most talented team.
Wow.
Just saying. You see, I ain't even mentioned the team to the south of us. Both of them. They not
right. Right,
But man, like who else? I'm not picking Carolina. They don't have enough. They don't match up with us. So it's crazy, man. But I gotta pick the Falcons, man.
There it is. What about you, B? Who do you have in the NFC South, man, and why?
I think what Kia said earlier. I can see Cam Newton and them having to bounce back year. So yeah, I'm gonna go with the Panthers. I think the Panthers will do it. I think Atlanta still make the playoffs. They'd be one of the wild card teams. They'd be second in the NFC South. But I got the Panthers taking it by one game. I think they're gonna get them by one game.
Okay. What about you, Ken?
Man. All right, so we got the brother in North Carolina. So B representing him, and we got the brother in Tampa Bay, and I'm going with the brother. Give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win the NFC South. Jameis Winston has weapons all over the field, and I think they're going to do it this time, man. So, I'm going with Winston, man. I think it's time for him to graduate to the next level. And go ahead and get this thing done, man. There are no excuses. You have Mike Evans. You have Doug Martin, Jaquez Rogers. Charles Sims is back. You have O.J. Howard. You have DeSean Jackson. So you can go, man, Come on, man. You have Cameron Brate, who's just steady. He's a worker's tight end. And then you have O.J. Howard, who can run up and down the field. However, I'm with you, Kyle. If they don't get it done, it's on Cutter, unless Winston just absolutely terrible. They got rid of Lovie Smith for Cutter to get the job done and to get Jameis Winston where he needs to be. And it's time for them to take that next step forward, and it's time for that move to pay off.
I got and y'all know me, man. I hardly ever agree with Ken.
Let's go, Kyle. But
I got Tampa Bay winning this, man. I think the Falcons make the playoffs as a wild card, but I think Tampa wins the division. I think if you want to make a run, and you know, for the Falcons who are listening, because I know the Falcons are listening, if you want to make a run at the Super Bowl, you got to. I think you got to win your division first. But yeah, I think Tampa wins the division. I think Tampa probably finishes 11-5. Maybe the Falcons finish 10-6. The Saints are going to be in the mix because you just can't count out the Saints. It's going to be a tough year for Carolina. I think Carolina and Saints probably will duke it out for last place in the division. But I like Tampa winning the division, man. It's like Ken said, if they do it, it's going to be on Jameis. If they don't do it, it's going to be on Jameis. You know, so he's going to be able to carry this team. I think they are poised on defense. They are so good on defense that if Jameis doesn't turn the ball over and if they can control the clock, they can win most games. So I think I can definitely see this team winning 11 games. I think the hometown Falcons will probably win 10, maybe 9 at the least. But I think they still get into playoffs. But yeah, I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the NFC South. Now let's take it to the NFC North. B, this is your division, man. Who wins it and why?
Ain't my damn division. Green Bay. I got a Green Bay, man. I'm like FIFO said about the NFC East. I'm gonna go with the best player in that division, Aaron Rodgers. They've been kind of holding down this division for they almost similar to how the Patriots been holding down the AFC East. I know Bears kind of snuck in a couple of times and won it, but other than that, it's been Green Bay. Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay. So I'm going to still go with them because they got discount double check over there, still throwing on the ball. So you can't go wrong with that. So I got Green Bay.
What about you, FIFO?
Before I say who or what team is going to win this division, let's talk a little bit about Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, let's do that.
Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Because I know I questioned the crap out of that. Yeah, I know everybody else did, but this, hey, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm a believer, but he came out there and he did his thing. I can't even lie.
All right, like, fall for you want to.
I didn't say that.
I saw him in the preseason too. He did look pretty good. Now again, that was against twos and threes, but he looked good.
Of course. No. Look. At the end of the day, what Dak did last year in preseason wasn't against all of the starters all of the time either. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like. But we saw it. You know, like talent is easy to see, and it's so crazy because you didn't see this in college, but all of a sudden in the NFL, he looks like he's better than he was in college. I don't know. That's just weird. That doesn't typically happen like that. But anyway, I'm with B, man. You got discount double check. You got the baddest man in the game right now, in my opinion, at the quarterback position. You know, there's no throw we can make, man. And you know what? I was looking. I've never been to an NFL game. I was looking for the Falcons and Packers tickets. It's the second most
good luck with that
expensive ticket this season.
Yeah, that's the Sunday night game. It's a home opener Sunday night in 2 weeks against the Packers.
And the reason is because Aaron Rodgers is worth the price of admission.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's a little too steep for me because, you know, I got to get at least two tickets. And I ain't paying no $500-$600.
To be honest, that might be for the nosebleeds.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. But at the end of the day.
Trying to sneak in.
Yeah, man, that boy Aaron Rodgers, man, like any throw, back leg, like he's like, remember how Brett Favre used to throw like the dumbest ball right? Mm-hmm. But he had enough arm strength. No, but Aaron Rodgers will get it. Aaron Rodgers is the guy. I don't think I've ever seen anything like Aaron Rodgers, man, to be honest. And that's not taking away from Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, nothing like that. But I think when it's all said and done, if we're just talking quarterback play, I don't know if I've seen better than Aaron Rodgers.
It is. It is. What about you, Ken? NFC North, excuse me. Who wins and why?
Can the Packers play defense? Did they fix that in the offseason? Or we still winning games with Aaron Rodgers?
Is that what we're doing? They've been winning division under Aaron Rodgers for all these years. So.
Yeah, this is true.
Uh-huh, I see. Well, I mean, look, it's we don't even have to look at the Packers' ability to stop anybody, right? We can look at the Minnesota Vikings, Sam Bradford, Detroit Lions, Matthew Stafford. No running back. What in the world? Okay. Matthew Stafford.
Who's over there playing Tears for Fears, man?
I was about to say, Ken, what the hell are you doing over there, people?
Ken got a demo.
Somebody in the 80s, man. They having a good time.
You too.
That sounded so 80s, didn't it?
I thought it was a Joshua tree.
Yeah, so Detroit Lions, Matthew Stafford, no running game. And then Chicago Bears, Mike Glennon / Trubisky. You got to go with Rodgers. I mean, you got to go with Rodgers. I think Detroit will compete. But, you know, I just – without a solid running game, I think there's only so much they can do. And there's only so much Stafford can do by himself. Now, let's give the brother credit. He's been getting it done by himself. But I just – we've seen it. Amir Abdullah hasn't been able to stay healthy. And then when he's off the board, you got Zach Zinner, if he's still there. I don't even know if he's still there.
And
Theo Riddick. And that's, you know, it's just not enough, man. That's not enough. So, yeah. And Eric Ebron, he can't stay on the field. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, I like the brother as the coach. And, you know, he's been successful, but they just don't have the pieces yet. So, I'm going to go with Rodgers.
Yeah, I got to make it a four, man. It's Rodgers for me. I think I am concerned about Green Bay's defense, you know, but when you got a guy on the other side who can put up 30 every Sunday, you know, the only other team you probably have to worry about is the Dallases or the teams, you know, like maybe the Falcons who can put up a lot of points. But the guy on the other side, you know, number 12 is going to put up points. You already know that in and of itself. So, and if he has the ball last, he's probably going to score. Yeah, I like Green Bay. I'm interested to see what Detroit does, particularly with Stafford. And we talked about Stafford getting the new contract. Minnesota, and it's, you know, like I said, it's a common theme, really, if you know, listen to this podcast. You know, their quarterback situation. I'm not sold on Bradford. I'm a huge Florida State fan, so I'll be rooting for Dalvin Cook to see what he does. That defense in Minnesota is always pretty stout. But, you know, and Bears, like I said, I was encouraged by what I saw from Trubisky. Again, it was against twos and threes in the preseason. Mike Glennon is the starter for now. I think they gave him like $14 million to come to Chicago, which, you know, they give you the money to come to Chicago and then they turn around and draft a quarterback. I don't understand that. But yeah, I think this is Green Bay's division. But, you know, these teams in this division, when they play each other, you know, you can kind of throw out the records. The Bears can be 0-15, and if they can beat the Packers in the final game of the season, that makes their season. So, you know, look out for those games in particular when you get a chance to see them each Sunday, because, you know, they love to play against each other and beat up on each other. Now taking it to the NFC West. Hey, man, how do you see this thing shaking out, Ken?
oh, my God, man. So the Rams are out. The 49ers are out. And we're left between Seattle and Arizona. Fitzgerald Has been playing in the league so long that he don't know that braids and dreads are no longer in. And he slows down as the year goes on. We still have Seattle. We have Russell Wilson, pre-elite quarterback. But they have a running game issue. Thomas Rawls, Eddie Lacy.
That's your man, Ken.
Hey, he likes cheeseburgers more than he likes that NFL check, man. So
I will say he has lost some weight.
Yeah, he has. Give me Seattle, man. You know what? I think there's something to players having an edge. Mm-hmm. And while Seattle has issues, they've played in two Super Bowls with Russell Wilson. That defense is the key components of that defense. The key ingredients are still there. I think that matters. I think they rotate other pieces to kind of spice it up a little bit, but the main parts they need to make that thing work are still there on defense. And, the rest is up to Russ, Jimmy Graham, and, the rotating crop of running backs they have to get the job done. So I'll go with the pre-elite Russell Wilson for this one, because he's going to show that he's ready to be mentioned along with the rest of them. This year, it's going to happen.
No doubt. What about you, Vivo? Who wins the NFC West and why?
You know, I'm not going to go into a big spiel about this one. Seattle, because they're the best team, most talent. Got a Super Bowl quarterback, got a head coach, got the edge, like Ken said. They still got the staples on defense. So that's about it. Thank you.
What about you, B?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Legion of Boom, man. I'm going to go with Seattle. They still got the pedigree to get it done. I think they still got the veteran players. Like people said, they still got pretty much all their guys together. Is he back, my man that got injured last year? Is it Thomas? I think his last name was Thomas. I know they was missing Earl someone Thomas. Last year. Yeah, he's back this year, right?
Yeah, Earl's back.
Yeah. I got Seattle, man. I think Seattle is definitely going to take this division.
Yeah, I agree. I got to go with Seattle. I don't think the Cardinals are that far away. This has become a pretty good rivalry between the two teams. But I think ultimately, you got to kind of bet on Carson Palmer. And I think Carson Palmer is probably on the downside of his career. I like the mentality of Seattle. I like, they kind of understand that this could be their last run, their last push for greatness as far as, the playoffs and the Super Bowl and the whole nine. And as I mentioned earlier, they had a tumultuous offseason, to say the least. So with Richard Sherman being, openly shopped around, I think this team feels like, they got a lot to prove. And this is a team that we could see in Minnesota represent the NFC, in the Super Bowl. So I'm going with Seattle to win it all. Before we get on to our Super Bowl picks, let me run down a couple of headlines that made the sports news while we were away this past week. Congratulations are in order. Serena Williams gave birth to a baby girl, if I'm not mistaken. So congrats to her. Florida State quarterback DeAndre Francois was knocked out of the game against Alabama. Alabama went on to roll over Florida State 24-7, but in the process, knocking out DeAndre Francois, he is out for the season. So now Florida State, which I think started off at number 3 in the AP poll, has dropped down to number 10. Their season is in jeopardy because odds are likely that, they probably will not win the ACC. Also in the college football, your man Josh Rosen rallied UCLA over Texas A&M after being down, I think it was 44-10. They come back and win 45-10, defeating Texas A&M in one of the greatest games college football you'll see this season. It happened this past weekend. Also in the NBA news, your man Isaiah Thomas, man, it is rumored that Isaiah Thomas may not be back until after the All-Star break. We talked last week about how the Cleveland Cavaliers were holding on and they wanted more picks. They ended up getting a second round pick, if I'm not mistaken. And word on the street is that Isaiah Thomas may not be back until after the All-Star break. So it'll be interesting to see. And the last note I have here, your man Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball, you know, not really known for making controversial statements. Those are usually made by his father. Lonzo Ball told or said on his reality show that, quote, nobody listens to Nas, that Drake and Migos and Future are the future of hip hop. Close
what? Quote.
You didn't hear that?
Yeah, I saw some. No, I've been out of touch, man. I've been offline.
Yeah, he said that.
Oh my god.
He said that they are the future. That is the. He said no quote. Nobody listens to Nas. I don't know where he got that from, but he's 19. So.
Okay.
Feel free to speak on it if you want, man.
Nah, I think we got something we need to talk about Sunday at our shoot. Feel free to come through, Kyle.
Oh man, I definitely if I can make it, I damn sure will. So yeah, that's a couple of notes. Also, Justin Verlander was traded from the Detroit Tigers. Huge blockbuster trade. So baseball pennant season is heating up. Like I said, those are just a couple of notes. We were primarily just touching on the NFL on this particular podcast, but I wanted to get some notes in case you missed it. All right, now it's time for the moment that you've all been waiting for. This is the time where we give our Super Bowl picks. Again, this is being recorded, so we can always come back in February of next year in 2018 and look back at these picks and say, oh, this person was right. Oh, this person was wrong. I don't think any of us got the picks last year. So with that being said, let's start it off. FIFO, who ends up in Minnesota for the Super Bowl representing the AFC and the NFC?
In the AFC, man, look, I gotta go with Tom Brady and the boys, man. Like they retooled too much.
Ken size.
Yeah, hey, look, man, I don't like the Patriots. I don't like Tom Brady. But my eyes is my eyes. My eyes is telling me Tom Brady and the boys, man, they got it. They got it. And for the NFC, man, I think I'm going to have to go the Seahawks.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna have to go to Seahawks, because, like Ken said, I think they have a self awareness and they have a sense of urgency to make sure that they get back, because they may not get back after this one if they make it. Like Ken said, you know, and I think you said as well too, Kyle. They're shopping Richard Sherman. You know what I'm saying? They're in a state of Super Bowl or breakup, and that's just where they are right now. So, you know, I think this is the last one. I think this is the last one, and Russell Wilson better bring it home.
No doubt. What about you, B? Super Bowl, man. Who makes it to Minnesota, man? Out of the AFC and the NFC.
Yeah, that was my pick too, FIFO. I was gonna go. Repeat of Super Bowl 49. We're gonna have Seahawks and Patriots duke it out again for the rematch for the crazy why did I throw the ball on the 1 yard line play. I definitely think we're gonna be heading towards a rematch of 49. Exactly with FIFO, man. I got Patriots and Seahawks taking the NFC, Patriots taking the AFC. With Patriots and Steelers being the AFC champs, and Seahawks, I got Seahawks and Green Bay in the NFC champs.
Okay. What about you, Kent? How do you see this thing playing out?
Not like them. Not at all.
Of course.
All right. So for the AFC, give me the Pittsburgh Steelers, fully loaded better secondary.
Wow.
Give me Pittsburgh. I think they're going to get it done. So I like them. In the NFC, hey, man. Hey. Dak attack. Dallas Cowboys going to the Super Bowl, baby.
I knew it. I knew it.
Skip Bayless off the phone.
I knew it.
I know Skip Bayless was part of Dallas.
Hey, Skip has infiltrated the camp.
I'm sorry, man. Hey, man. When Zeke come back, he's gonna be pissed off. He's gonna run through everybody, man. I think the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl, man. I think they're gonna do it this year. Yep. Dallas, baby. Oh, God.
This guy.
Watch.
Gosh. And I know he didn't pick Dallas last year, but I want to say Ken in one of the previous years, Ken picked Dallas for some reason. I don't know what the connection is, but I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out probably in the next couple of hours. Reluctantly, man, you know, the team in Foxborough, New England, I think comes out of the AFC again. I just don't see anybody getting in their way. I think they lose a couple of games this year. And I've seen, some prognosticators saying that they thought the Patriots would go 16-0. They're not going no damn 16-0. Get the hell out of here. With that being said, I like Pittsburgh to challenge them. I like, you know, maybe Cincinnati, if they can get their head out of their ass, to challenge them. I like the Raiders to challenge them. I like, you know, the Texans and shit, but I don't think, you know, at the end of the day, you give Bill Belichick a week to prepare, you know, they'll have something for you. And, you know, I don't know that anybody in the AFC can beat him. Coming in the NFC, I'm going Green Bay. I'm hooking my pick to the discount double check, man. I think as I mentioned earlier, I think their defense can be, you know, suspect at times, but I think Rodgers has the capability of putting up enough points. I think if they run the ball, and keep in mind, last year they had issues running the ball because they just didn't have enough running backs. They took one guy from like wide receiver, and he was running the ball. But I like Green Bay. I like Green Bay and New England in the Super Bowl. I still don't understand how this guy picked Dallas, but but I digress. Nonetheless, man, it is time for our closing thoughts. This is where we give our final thoughts on whatever, whenever. You know, just a little parting shot as we close out the podcast. So, Fever, what you got for your final thought?
Man, I can't wait till the NBA season start. We got Lonzo Ball finally opening up his mouth, and he's getting himself in trouble already.
Already.
So I can't wait to see what's in store. Yeah, man. Love the NBA. Football's cool, but I've always been an NBA guy. I'm ready. James Harden and CP bonding all over the summer. You know, we got Hoodie Mello getting a 98 ready. Like, I'm just saying, man. I'm just ready. I'm ready for basketball, man. I'm ready.
Now, for those listening, FIFA, when does basketball actually start? Because they tip off what, in about another month or so?
Yeah, about October. We're gonna start seeing preseason games about October. Okay. And we're gonna see college basketball pretty soon too. So, you know, ready for Jello Ball. Let's see what he does at UCLA.
Oh Lord,
FIFA, the season kicks off October 17th. Boston and Cleveland is a doubleheader. Boston and Cleveland, and then Houston and Golden State. That's the NBA tip-offs.
And I got something for y'all, too. Y'all probably didn't know. Kyrie's wearing number 11. His dad played for Boston University and got his number 11 retired.
Okay.
So that's pretty dope.
I was going to ask, was there some type of significance behind that? Because I thought 11 looked kind of weird on him.
It does, but, you know, he's junior.
So why not? Is number 2 retired for the Celtics?
Probably. Every okay. number is
yeah.
retired.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a dumb question. You're right. they're the one team that's probably running out of numbers, really, to be honest.
Looking forward to watching Triple G and Canelo Alvarez fight. They fight next Saturday. And my dad is actually going to be in town that weekend, too.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm just, you know, looking forward to seeing, you know, a true boxing match, like I said, I wasn't all excited and hyped about the Mayweather and McGregor fight because I knew how that was going to end. But you know, yeah, Canelo and Triple G, man, this is going to be really interesting. This is going to be Canelo never faced power like Triple G, and Triple G's never faced a technical boxer slash puncher like Canelo ever. So this because I think Danny Jacobs kind of showed the blueprint a little bit how to kind of slow down and confuse Triple G. When he fought him, because he could have had him. I think Daniel Jacobs, he could have put off the upset. But if I'm Canelo, I'll look at a little bit of film on that and seeing how he can pull his own little spin on it. But yeah, that's definitely gonna be an interesting fight. I got Canelo just by edge winning this fight. But you know, we never knows, man. Triple G power is something else, and I don't think Canelo has never ever felt nothing like that before. So it's gonna be interesting.
No doubt. Definitely looking forward to that fight. What about you, Ken? What you got for your final thought?
Well, they were beefing last year. Cam, we talked about on this show, lost his color, lost his way. But he's back, man. He said some favorable things in favor of Colin Kaepernick, and he basically came out and said that it's unfair that Colin Kaepernick isn't on a team and that he's better than a lot of the quarterbacks in the league. So, you know, I just want to give that brother, you know, his due, man, for sticking up for another brother and probably coming to the realization after last year that he is indeed black, and that is not going to go away. So salute to Cam Newton. Welcome back, my brother. Welcome back.
Oh, man, that's funny, Ken. That's funny. And actually, a perfect segue. My final thought, man, takes it to Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. As many of you listening know, or maybe you don't know, I am the proud product of an HBCU, South Carolina State University. I play football there. And, you know, we've talked about on this podcast several, you know, on different occasions about how sometimes HBCUs have to play these bigger schools to get a check. Well, the HBCU that is located in our nation's capital, a school by the name of Howard University, had to play a game. They played a game this past Saturday, and they were playing against a bigger school, and the check was for $600,000. Now, we've seen situations where schools like my alma mater last year played Clemson and got beat 59-0. We saw situations where a school like FAMU a couple of years ago played, I think it was Ohio State, and they lost like 84-7 or something like that. Well, Howard goes out to UNLV to play them, and they are a 45-point underdog. And a strange thing happens. Howard actually beat UNLV. This became the biggest, based on point spread, the biggest upset in NCAA football history. And they won 43-40. And again, because of the point spread, it was the largest, the greatest victory for any school as far as the HBCU. If you bet $100 on Howard that night, you would have won $55,000. So where it ties into what Ken just said is the quarterback for Howard is a guy by the name of Kalen Newton. And that is the younger brother of Cam Newton. So allow me to give a big shout out, even though I really don't like Howard because they're our rival, but a big shout out and a big, much respect to Howard University for going out to UNLV and getting the win, and let it serve notice to other schools that just because they're willing to pay you a check to come play means that you should actually come to play. And Howard did. Congrats to Howard for getting the win. A win for them is a win for all HBCU schools, and we definitely appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for checking out another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. For my man FIFO, for B, for Ken, I'm your host, 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
See you.
Boom.